Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online podcast. At GVC, our mission is simple. We are loving God, loving people, and loving life. I know this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you stay to the end to hear about how you can connect with us. Are you ready to get into it? Here we go.
I'm talking about the abundant life. Now, again, I realize that when we start talking about this, people get a little bit squeamish because obviously we're talking about just the avenue by which God uses to bless us and increase us. And how many of you know that in this world, in order for you to have success or just ease of life, it requires you to have some kind of money or ability to take care of yourself, right? And obviously, the more that you have, the easier it is for you to have success or have ease of life. So last week, we began to talk about the abundant life. And if you recall, we started to talk about the tithe. The tithe is the first 10% of your increase. It's a biblical principle that God has laid out for us as his people. And after last week's message, somebody said to me afterwards, they said, Pastor, that was a really basic message. And I kind of chuckled to myself. I'm like, it is. It is so basic. I mean, it is the basics of the basics, right? But how many of you know that it's the basics that people really struggle with? Amen. I said, it's the basics that people seem to really struggle with in regards to trusting God. And so we're going to continue along these lines today to simply help encourage your faith. And I want you to understand that God is for you. He's not against you. God is in your corner. God is looking for you to increase and to be blessed in your life. In fact, the scripture says this, that when God created man, it says that he said, you are blessed, be fruitful and multiply. So in other words, the word blessed means abundantly provided for, a full supply. And so God's heart is for us to have a life of increase so that we can have success in life. So, as I said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says it this way. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That word abundantly means in quality and quantity. So not only does God want us to have quantity of life, he wants us to have quality of life. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he wants you to have quality of life. And I think this is one of those things that when it comes to the church, people come to the idea that my suffering somehow honors God. I don't know about you, but when I look at your kids suffering at your hand, I don't think you as being a good parent. Hello? Did I lose you on that? Okay, I wasn't talking about you. I'm talking about the person next to you. Not that there's anybody here in our church. But I said this. I said, if I see your children suffering at your hand, you're neglecting them, not taking care of them, not providing for them. I don't look at you and say, you know what? You're a wonderful parent for doing that to them. No. In fact, when I look at you blessing your kids, taking care of your kids, making sure that they have what they need, I look at you and say, man, you are a good, good parent. You're responsible, you're loving, and it's shown through the expression of how well you take care of your children, right? And so once again, God desires for us to have a life that is full of quality and quantity. Then again, we saw this last week in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. We saw that God said this. He says, I will give you power to gain or to obtain wealth. That word power is translated as wealth, or we could say it this way, I will give you wealth to obtain wealth. So God will give us increase or wealth to possess wealth. Now, in the natural standpoint, that makes sense, doesn't it? If I have something that I can invest, then I have an opportunity of a return, right? How many of you know that the banks used to give you a little bit of a return, and they still do, but it's next to nothing, right? There's Mr. Banker over here. But if you just let your money sit in the bank, there is a little bit of a return that will come just by you investing it, right? Well, so obviously you can use your increase to retain or gain more wealth in your life. So we could say it this way, money with a mission. And one of those ways that God has given us wealth, to obtain wealth, is through the tithe. Now, again, we're going to talk more about that this morning. I just want to take a moment to review. Over in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, it says this, all the tithe belongs to the Lord. So not just a portion of it, he said all of it. Well, again, to define what the tithe is, it is the first tenth of our increase. Now, once again, you might say, I don't like you talking about this way. It puts pressure on me. I'm not looking to put pressure on you. I want you to know more than anything, this is not God trying to get something from you. It's not a pastor trying to get his next house down the road or the new car. This is God's word saying, this is my heart and my desire to bless you and increase you. And this is one of the ways in which you do it. Can somebody say amen? In Malachi chapter 3, it says this. It says, bring all the tithe to the storehouse or to the temple, or you could say your local church. Bring all the tithe. Again, that's where you're going to make the investment or you're going to give it. And so once again, God gives you his tithe so that you can reap the fruit off of it. So again, you get a paycheck, right? That is the increase. And isn't it interesting that the government does not trust you with your tax money? They take it out before you ever even get it. Right? And have you ever noticed that, you know, you don't necessarily like it, but you do it willingly? I've never heard anybody fall down on the floor, throw a tantrum and say, dear God, I had to pay taxes this year. No, it's just part of what you do. In fact, Jesus said, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God what belongs to God, right? But at this thing called the tithe, God does not take it from you and say, I don't trust you, so therefore I'm going to take the tithe from you before you ever get it. No, the Bible says that the tithe belongs to him. You receive the increase, and in your increase is his tithe. And he says, now I'm going to give it to you so that you can invest it, so that you can reap the fruit on it. Amen? But once again, we don't look at it as though God's trying to bless us. We look at it as though God's trying to punish us, right? In fact, let me ask you this. If your boss, if you was to go into work tomorrow, it's Monday, and your boss says to you, you know what, you've been a good worker, and you know what, I'm just trying to think of you down the road and trying to help you prepare. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your salary and every week I'm going to increase it by 10% so that you can invest it into your 401k. That'd be pretty slick, wouldn't it? Now, if he just tacked it on to your paycheck, what do you think most people would do with that extra 10%? Spend it. Yeah. Most people would eat the extra 10%, and at the end of their seniority or their retiring date, more than likely they would have never invested that because they don't see the long-term satisfaction. They just see the immediate gratification, right? And God's saying to you, I'm trying to help you prepare for the future. He says, there is an increase that comes, and I'm giving you my tithe that belongs to me. I'm putting it in your hand, and I'm entrusting you to honor me with the tithe so that you can be blessed. Once again, the scripture tells us this, honor the Lord with the first fruit or with the increase. Or the tithe. Honor, or in other words, worship the Lord with your tithe. Honor him. Now, when you think about the tenth, 10%. Some people say, well, I've never heard of that before. I'm just new to coming to church. Well, welcome to God's blessing and God's increase. You got on the front end, and therefore you don't have to learn or unlearn anything. You're able to say, you know what? I'm finding out that God wants me to be blessed and he wants to take care of me. Amen? And you say, well, yeah, but 10%. I want you to understand that God is fair. I said, God is fair. Why do I mean that? Because the tithe is the flat 10%, meaning that if you make $1 million a year, it's still 10%. If you're just barely scraping by and you're living below the poverty level, it's still 10%. Amen? Boy, that would have worked in well with the State of the Union address this a couple days ago, wasn't it? It's the same across the board. Well, anyways. I'm in Flint. I better be careful of talking that way. So, anyways, wow. No laughing or nothing. All right, we're talking about tithing this morning. Amen. How many of you say praise the Lord? Amen. All right, so the tithe is fair for everyone. And the Bible says that my tithe is a means by which I honor God. So once again, let's put it into practicalities. I said that the tithe is a means by which we can worship and honor Him. So if I make $1,000 a week, my tithe would be what? $100. Right. That's 1/10. And so oftentimes when I look at that, I'm thinking, wow, that's $100. And I start to choke on it a little bit. But you realize that's only 10 cents on every dollar. And God says, if you'll honor me with it, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings you don't have room enough to receive. Right? And then we come to church and it comes time to give. And we're like, oh, I didn't bring anything. But didn't God say, honor me with it? Honor me with it. Now, obviously, we live in a culture where you can give online and there's all the electronics. I get all that. But I'm just saying, if you come to church and you're not prepared to worship God in your giving and you start patting yourself, oh, I got something. I got 10 bucks. All right. And the offering bucket comes by and I put the 10 bucks in. What was my tithe? What was it supposed to be? $100. But all I had on me was $10. Did I honor God with my tithe? Now again, I'm not saying that you intentionally was dishonoring or that you're being resentful or rebellious. But my point is this, is that if I'm coming to the Lord and worshiping Him with the first fruits, then that means that my mind is conscious of and saying, God, I'm going to make sure that I worship You in my giving. And so if I'm forgetful, if it's not on my mind, if it's a secondary thought, then really, again, my question is are we really intentional with our heart in our giving? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now you might say, but 10%, I don't have enough faith for 10%. I don't care if you were just born again yesterday. If you received Jesus into your heart, you have enough faith. Why? Because Jesus paid the biggest debt. You were going to hell. Now you're going to heaven. Listen, the faith that it takes to believe in Jesus to save your soul from hell is far bigger than you trusting God with only $100 or 10% of your increase. Now the only difference is that you handle that tithe in your hand and you think you can't. But I'm telling you what, you're the only one that can. But when it comes to your salvation, you can't do nothing about your salvation. You have to entirely trust and believe in God. Are you seeing the magnitude of the difference? It takes great faith to say, my soul is rescued from hell. To say, well, you know what? It's in my hand. All I got to do is let it go. It's in my power. Amen? Does that make sense? Amen. But let me put it in further perspective. And I'm not saying this to make anyone feel guilty because, again, here's the point. We're growing and we're purposing to trust God. I'm wanting you to see that your tithe honors or worships God. If I'm not a tither, if I'm just a tipper, then my tipping appeases my soul to say, well, I gave something. And God says, was it my tithe? And so if it was $1,000 that you made, your tithe was $100, and you gave $10, What does that equate to? One penny on a dollar. What's your name? Dan? Dan came over to my house. This is a hypothetical. Dan came over to my house. He worked all day just to help me. And at the end of the day, I said, Dan, was it? I said, Dan, man, thank you for all your help. Oh, man, there you go, buddy. Here. Oh, thank you so much. Dad's going to walk away and say, you know what? I'd rather you gave me nothing rather than giving me that penny. Are you getting what my point is? We don't understand that God is asking us to say, I want you to trust me with your tithe. I want you to worship me and honor me with your tithe. Not so that it does something for me. It's so that I can do something for you. I want to bless you and increase you. And once again, God's desiring to take you to a whole nother level so that you experience an abundant life. Amen? Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 6. A couple things that I want to point out here. This is one that we oftentimes reference. It's the first real reference of the tithe concerning us as people. But it begins by saying, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O son of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. So there's a few different things that we'll come back to and look at there. But notice what God says. He said, in regards to you or I not trusting God with his tithe, he says that we rob him. In fact, he goes on, he said it this way as well. He says, you've robbed me in tithe and offerings. We'll talk about offerings later. But he says, when I'm not bringing my tithe, he says, I'm actually robbing God. Now, nobody in their right mind says, you know what? I'm going to church today, and I'm holding the church up. I'm robbing it. Right? I mean, we got some people in here just to let you know. You might get tackled if you tried that physically. There might be some people in here, they might even shoot you. I don't know. But isn't that what really is taking place? God says, when I don't worship or bring it, I'm actually robbing God. What are we robbing him from? We're robbing him of our worship when we withhold our tithe. We also rob God the opportunity to supply the overflowing blessing. We also hinder God's ability to help and be a blessing to others, right? You realize that your tithe is attached to eternity and souls of this church and you being able to reach people for the kingdom's and the gospel's sake. And then lastly, we rob God from offering us protection because the scripture says he rebukes the devourer for our sake. Amen? So when we tithe, there are things that you'll never know that God protected you from or took care of you from. When you're a tither, he says, I rebuke the devourer for your sake. So once again, there are just things that you don't know. You might think, I don't know that this tithing thing has ever benefited me ever. But I'm telling you what, you don't know all the things that God has protected you from because it never came knocking at your door. I mean, you're driving down the road and God saw the pothole you're getting ready to hit And he foresaw that when you hit that pothole, it's going to blow your tire out and you're going to run off into the ditch, flip, and get killed. But he sends an angel there and he holds that tire in place when you hit the pothole and you hit it hard and you just keep on driving down the road. Amen. You don't see that when you were in the Walmart, ladies, there was a man that started looking at you from around the corner and he started to think, I'm going to follow her out into the parking lot. There's this single young lady. She seems like she can't defend herself. I'm going to keep an eye on her. And when I see her in the parking lot, I'm going to go and get her. So he goes and he takes his place and he's ready to abduct you or abuse you, whatever the case is. And therefore, when he sees you walk out of Walmart, he sees the biggest man walking beside you that he's ever seen. And he's like, I'm going to think twice about that one. I thought she was single. Well, you were walking out by yourself. But what God did is opened up his eyes and he saw your angel walking with you. And therefore, he protected you. And you never even know what was going on because God had saw beforehand and put his hand of protection and rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. Moms and dads, you know, our kids aren't always sweet and innocent like we think they are. And sometimes they get into things that they shouldn't. Friendships and places and things that they shouldn't. And sometimes their actions might have opened up the spirit of death. And the spirit of death follows them home. But your child walks into your house and the spirit of death has to stop out on the sidewalk because that house is a tithing house. And when your kids walked into the house, they were protected by the blood of Jesus because as for me and my house, we are protected and God rebukes the devourer for our sake. Come on, are you seeing what I'm saying? Again, we think as though God is trying to get something from us. God is looking to bless us and help us. Amen. Another way of looking at that is just your immune system. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you realize that there are things that try to attack your body every single day? And there's actually enough stuff in this air that it could kill you. But because the way that God made your body, it fights it off and you never even knew it. You just keep on going as though nothing ever happened. Why? Because God set up a protection mechanism on the inside of your body. And that's how you were made. So once again, God has set up a means by which he has the opportunity to bless you and protect you because you're a tither. Can somebody say, I'm a tither?
I'm a tither.
Amen. So God said this. He says, return to me in Malachi chapter 3. He says, return to me. And he makes a distinction. He makes a distinction between tithing and offerings. And as I said, we'll talk about those two later on. But he says, return to me. And he says, therefore, there's something that has brought separation between you and I. And it's because you had a covetous heart. Your heart desired the increase more than you desired to worship me. Amen. God's looking for your heart. He's not looking so much for your tithe. He's wanting to know that he can trust you. When the Bible says that God says to his people, return to me and I'll return to you. I want you to hear this. God is not saying it with a loud booming voice full of anger and venom. He's not saying, return to me. Because I'm going to smite you if you don't get yourself together. God's not doing that. In fact, God's saying, I love you. Come on. Return to me. Don't let this natural thing be a separation between you and I. Come on. Return to me. You've got to see that. In Matthew chapter 15... Jesus said this, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Matthew chapter 6 says this, where your heart is, no, it doesn't say where your heart is. It says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when God is saying, return to me, he said, I want your heart. Oh, I so want your heart. Tithing becomes the foundation of the overflow living. God says, prove me. See if I won't do what I say I will do. but it also proves our heart. And in proving our heart, it also prepares the soil for my seed. And that's in regards to our offering. Like I said, we'll talk more about that later. Here's something that I want you to understand. That God's looking for you to increase. Oftentimes, you know, we look at people that struggle financially, and it's real easy for us to say, oh, they're there. You know, you're struggling. You know, just do what you can. I remember there was somebody that criticized the minister. This minister said, he said, if you're poor or if you're struggling financially, if you're on welfare, he said, be a tither. And when he said this, he got raked over the coals because they said, they're on welfare. They're poor. And you're making it about the money. Just send me the money. Send me the money. Send me the money. What did God say? He said, if you'll honor me with your increase, he said, I'll bless you and open up windows that you don't have room enough to receive. So therefore, if you find yourself in a position of deficiency, then the tithe is a means by which God said, I will give you wealth to gain wealth or to increase. That was a good place to say amen. Jesus said, in regards to the widow's mite, do you remember that? The Bible says that she brought a penny and put it in the offering. And Jesus stopped the whole show. And he says, this woman gave me a penny. Jesus did not say, dear lady, if that's all you got here, let me give you your penny back. You need this more than I do. No, Jesus said, this woman gave a penny and it was all that she had. But oh, how she loves me. And he blessed her. You see, God looks at money differently than we do. And he's looking at every means and every opportunity to be a blessing to us. Now, I'm setting this up for next week. But in regards to the New Testament talks more about giving of offerings than it does tithing. Now you might say, well, that means that tithing really isn't very important. Maybe it is that concerning the church, the people of God, that the scripture is really being written to, maybe there's just an assumption that we are just automatically tithers. And therefore, he can talk to us about offering. We'll look at that next time. But let me draw your attention. I'm not done yet. Don't shut down on me. But let me bring your attention to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. You doing okay? Some of you are, some of you aren't. Are y'all doing okay? Amen. Can I keep on teaching just a little bit? I won't keep it too much longer. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 21. But this is the story of the rich young ruler. And if you remember, he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, he says, how must I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, why do you call me good? And he says, and you know the commandments. He says, keep the commandments. And he says, well, I've kept them all since I've been a young boy. He says, I've done all that. And then Jesus responds to him. In verse 21, it says, then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at the word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We're going to come back here in just a minute. But notice what Jesus said, or what it was said concerning Jesus. It didn't say that Jesus rebuked him. It says that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. It didn't say that Jesus rebuked him about not having a generous heart or unwillingness to give what he had. It says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Everything about the heart of God in regards to you having a means to honor God in tithe and offering is a means for him to have the opportunity to love you more. And it says, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross, come follow me. So if this guy would have done that, we would have not read about the 12 disciples. We'd have read of 13. But it says that this man had great wealth, and he was sorrowful at what Jesus said and went away and didn't do it. Why do you think that man's heart was sorrowful? I don't believe that that man's heart was sorrowful because he was unwilling to get rid of his wealth or thought his wealth was worth so much. I believe that he toiled and was tormented because his heart was continually being pulled towards Jesus and says, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. I want to follow him, but I can't let go. I think that's the greater sorrow that he felt. And you and I have that torment or that toiling on the inside. There's something that God says, come follow me, come follow me. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And we struggle and we wrestle because I got bills. I got stuff I want to do and I can't. And we wrestle and we hear a message like this and we're like, pastor's talking to me again. I'm not talking to you. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit, but it's not me. And we wrestle. Why? Because God wants us to experience increase. Notice what it goes on to say in verse 23. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, well, who then can be saved? Verse 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Now look at Jesus' response. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive, everybody say receive, shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Notice what he said. He said, for those that are willing to be givers and to be generous, he said there is 100-fold return to receive. I'm telling you what, I'm stirring my faith to come up to another place and walk with God. There's more. There's more to be done, so therefore there's more that needs to be available to do what's necessary. Again, I want you to think of that 100-fold return. In just the next 5 minutes as I close down, I want you to hear the parable of the sower of the seed. Jesus made this statement. Before he gets ready to give the parable of the sowing of the seed, he makes this statement. He says, be blessed. Be empowered to prosper. He said, blessed is everyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear. My heart is that you will have eyes to see God's heart and ears to hear God telling you how much he loves you. In the sowing of the seed or the parable, it tells us that there are four soils and it represents four maturity levels. The first one says that there was the seed that was sown on the wayside. And it says when that seed was sown, it says Satan comes immediately to steal the word so that you don't receive salvation. The word salvation is not just eternal life, it means provision. So have we allowed the enemy to steal the word from our heart so that we can't trust God with our finances or our money? And if he's stolen the word,
have we not been in position to receive God's blessing? Secondly, it says that there was the seed that was sown on the stony ground. And it says that they received it with gladness. I heard it. But it says that there was no root in them, and they stumbled. They stumbled because of tribulation and persecution came for the word's sake. So in other words, listen, it never even began to produce fruit because it never had any roots. They received the word with gladness, but tribulation came, meaning the bill showed up. Oh, can I trust God? The unexpected thing came up. Oh, can I trust God? Oh, I want to go on vacation. Should I trust God? And as a result, we have opportunity this morning. As the enemy came in and stole the word, he caused you to stumble. Number three, there was the word that was sown among the bones. It says that they heard the word, and it became unfruitful. So it means that it started to grow. It looked like there was going to be fruit, but it was unfruitful. Why did it not produce fruit? Because it says that the cares of the world, the deceitfulnesses of riches, choked out the seed. In other words, life choices. I heard it. I started to trust God. But I wanted to start living for self. Rather than honoring God, well, God, I want to buy this. I want to go here. I want to do that. And as a result, there was some fruit that started to show up, but it got choked out because I started living on myself. But then there was the fourth. It says they sowed the seed and it produced some 30, some 60, some of the hundredfold. I don't know about you. I'm wanting to move on to the hundredfold. I want to see God increase this church so much that people talk about us. It says that he'll bless you, and with the blessing comes persecution. Oh man, I would just love it for people to say, that church down there, Jesse Valley Church, they got so much money. They're that money church. They just do so much. They talk about money, but they have money. Man, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Look at how awesome and fancy the building is. Look at all the buses that they send out. Look at all the ministry they do around the world. They just think they're so special. I wonder how much money it takes to be able to. It costs millions to do it. And they don't blink an eye. It just happens. Why don't they do something for the poor? Oh, we do all kinds of things for the poor. We go into the inner city and we do this and we do that. Why? Because God's blessed us. Amen? God is asking you this morning, do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? And what he's saying to you is that I'm not trying to take from you. I'm trying to get to you. Listen. So that you can live the abundant life. Will you stand with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here in this room, I want you just to set aside the message that I shared with you. If you're thinking about money, toying with the idea of giving, just set that aside. Because the bigger question is what have you done with what God gave? You see, God understands what you wrestled with on the inside. He understands what the wrestling that you experience when it comes to giving, because he gave his son for you. He gave his best. If you think that was easy for him, you're mistaken. He gave his for you. So my question for you this morning is what have you done with Jesus' gift? Have you received that gift? So, if you're here this morning, you're watching online, and if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to experience that blessing, and your life can forever change. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you feel like you're straight away, and you just want to rededicate your life to God, and you want to know that this day was the day you did it, and I'll give you an invitation. On the count of three, if you're here in this room and you want to receive Jesus, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to be able to see your hand so I know who I'm praying for. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see. Amen. One more time. If you're here and you just want to make Jesus the Lord of your life or rededicate your heart to God, you have this to be the morning. If you didn't raise your hand and you wish you would have, but just slip up real quick. Well, no, so I see that hand. See that hand? I see that hand. Amen. Believe that what you believe. If you're watching online and you're saying, I'm raising my hand, I'm flagging it at you, Pastor, I'm going to lead you to prayer right now. For those of you that are here and all of us collectively together, let's pray this together. And as you pray it, just exercise your faith. What's that mean? Just say, I believe it in my heart. I'm going to receive it right now. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, that you gave your best for me.
Yes.
I believe that Jesus died on the cross
for
my sins. I believe he went to hell.
I believe he went
for my punishment.
My punishment.
But I also believe he rose on the third day to give me victory over sin and death. I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Father, forgive me of my sins. Receive me now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Well, that's it. We are so glad you joined us today, and we hope to see you again soon. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving to our ministry so we can continue the work we do? You can donate securely online at gvchurch.tv/give. As always, you can connect with us anytime through our social media sites or online at our website, gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.